Explorers and searchers, legends and splats, you're now tuned in to the Disneyholic Show.
Hello and welcome to the Disneyholic Show. That's Mike TV.
And that's Jen Diz.
It is Patreon Takeover Month, and we have another topic to cover. This week, we will be watching and reviewing Disney's Strange World, an animated sci-fi adventure film that we missed in the theaters. First and foremost, I am here to apologize for the sound of my voice because I am sick once again. I don't know what is going on with my life, but I'm just always sick at this point. So this is going to probably be a little shorter of an episode than our normal. So bear with me here.
It's it's kind of that time of year. Everybody be healthy, be well.
Yeah, I used to just do so much better through these times than I have recently, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Not feeling my hottest right now, for sure. But I also wanted to say, before we get started, Happy Valentine's Day!
Oh, this episode comes out
on Valentine's Day tomorrow.
It is, Feb 14th. Do you have any is that what they call it now? Galentine's Day plans? Like friends hang out?
I did, until I feel like this, so I'm not leaving my house likely, but
fair enough.
I was going to take my bestie out on a date, but that's not happening now, so
you could postpone it for another
yeah
time.
we'll have a makeup Galentine's Day, and I'm probably going to do something dumb like order one of those Mountain Mike's heart-shaped pizzas or something.
I will just be on a flight, so I'm not doing anything eventful either. It is what it is, you know.
Yeah, you know. Well, hopefully everyone has a lovely Valentine's Day, however you end up celebrating it. If you do, if you don't, if you do something silly, whatever it is, have a good one.
Yeah. And there are other things to celebrate just on Tuesday, right? Big announcements.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say this real quick because it's just brand new news. Tiana's Bayou Adventure, we all knew, I think they were always saying late 2024, right?
Yeah.
But they've now announced, for Disney World at least, is coming summer of 2024. I was pretty impressed. I was like, okay, they've been hearing our qualms about them taking forever to do stuff maybe. So they're like, look, we're going to surprise them.
We're
going to set their expectations for the end of the year and then surprise them with the summertime announcement. So that's pretty exciting.
Definitely earlier than I anticipated.
Right. Yeah. And did you see the video that came out?
I did. I wasn't sure if I wanted to see the animatronic spoiler, but I said, F it. I want to see it. And yes, I watched it.
I like saw it pop and I scrolled real fast. You know how I normally yeah. I'm like, get out of my face. But it was exactly what I was expecting it to be. It's going to be that same technology from like Beauty and the Beast, where those newer beautiful animatronics that look like they're plucked right out of the cartoon.
Beautiful. And they somehow like, it's still a physical face, no digital, but the eyes are somehow like backlit, and they look so cool. Like, it's just really beautiful. And if anybody else watched it and you're worried about spoilers, the good thing is this is one of many animatronics they announced. So there's going to be audio animatronics for Louis the Gator, Mama Odie, I think several Tianas. So we have plenty to be surprised with if we hopefully get on that ride this year, you know, when it opens.
Yeah, pretty crazy. I thought that was really exciting just to see, wow, it's going to be here earlier than we were expecting instead of later, which is usually the news, right?
Also, my theory is it's going to either be the week before, during, or after D23 Expo in California.
Ooh.
Just to spread it out a little bit. I feel like that's happened to us once before and we were like really stressed out. I forgot what it was. There was like something that started, but it was on the other coast and it was near D23.
What if they end up getting Disneyland's open early and then they could hand out those special tickets like they did with Fantasmic? Remember that?
Ooh, that would be nice. They did start working on Disney World first, so I can see why. Yeah.
Very cool. 2-month jump on us, maybe even.
Yep.
So we'll see.
We were the opposite, I think, for Rise, right? We as in Disneyland.
Yes.
We.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
So crazy. So yeah, that's the only news. You have any other news updates?
No, that's the one thing that really got me excited, and it was unexpected.
Love. Yes, totally unexpected. Exciting. All right, so let's jump straight in. We have another Patreon takeover topic. This one fit perfectly into my vibe this week of being sick as hell. I could just like lay in bed and watch a movie. So thanks to Jessica for suggesting that we watch and review Strange World. I had not seen it yet. Mike had not either, right, Mike?
Correct.
So my question is, why didn't we see it in movie theaters?
So my initial thought was it was a time when there was just a lot of stuff coming out that was very, very similar. And the trailers for all of those things really didn't help Strange World. So there was this one time where there was trailers for Avatar World of Water. What is it called? Way of Water. Avatar Way of Water. And then Quantumania, Ant-Man, and then Strange World. And they all have almost the same exact aesthetic when they're in yeah. in their, like, Strange World, I guess. And I was like, I've had enough of it. I don't need it. And then the trailers for this just didn't seem that exciting. I didn't really understand totally what it was about. And the other part was, you know, I'm getting kind of, I'm never as excited about Disney, Walt Disney animated films from the studios that are not musicals. That sounds very specific. But I tend to skip over those or wait till it comes on streaming or whatever the case is. So I'd say I think that those are my reasons. What about you?
Totally similar. Nothing about it got me excited. I feel bad to say that, but like, I couldn't really like, I don't know. There were so many other films coming out by Disney at the time that were like a little more important, like even Turning Red.
Yeah.
Like, it had like an actual real life message to it versus this one that's just like kind of imaginative. So I kind of leaned towards those films over this one. And then you're exactly right. I wrote that in my notes too. Like there's so many films that this felt like
yeah.
at the same time that I was like, I can skip. It's kind of how I was starting to feel about multiverse, right? There's
yes.
like these patches of movies coming out all at the same time with the same vibe and theme. And it's like, okay, totally. I don't need to see that one.
And for some context of time, this came out, Strange World came out in November of 2022. So we were only 2 years into the pandemic in a way where we weren't sure when was what was going to theaters, what was going direct to streaming, how soon it would go from theaters to streaming. So like if you weren't super excited about something, we weren't going to the theater to watch a movie.
Right. Yeah, I was definitely yeah. picking, choosing what I was still going out for at the time. I think I still am. That's what COVID did to me, was like really make me like pick my battles, right? But also just the idea of it coming out on streaming is kind of like, I don't feel the urge or the rush to see it either.
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's like so accessible that it's like, I don't need to make a thing of it. I'll just watch it whenever. And I just never got to it. So that's kind of, it's not like I didn't want to see this movie. I just like, it's just like kind of there.
Yeah, we actually had a good conversation. We both agreed that we wanted to see it, but kind of needed someone to force us to just prioritize it. So thanks again to our Patreon member, Jessica, because this is what we needed. And I'm also traveling, so it was a great time to watch a movie. I needed something to watch, which I think is something I wanted to share as well that has to do with my review of Strange World. Do we want to just jump in?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Jump into the pit that takes us to the weird Strange World. Okay, so it took me 3 viewings to get through this movie. And it wasn't because any one thing was horrible. It just couldn't capture my attention. So I'll start with where I went wrong. So I watched the first maybe 25 minutes on my iPad on the airplane. And I knew from just on the iPad, it was beautiful, like beautifully animated. It just wasn't really getting sucked in. And then I paused. Then I continued watching it from my laptop, which is just slightly bigger than an iPad. And it was kind of getting the same vibe. Then I stopped again about halfway through. Didn't realize the movie seemed long because when I paused it, it said I still had like another 70 minutes or something. I said, what? And then what I ended up doing was we transferred to an Airbnb. where they have Disney Plus, and I just had to log in. Very, very convenient. And now I'm watching it on like a 65-inch HD TV. Made the difference. I was now more immersed and paying attention. And also the second half of the movie is a lot more interesting than the first half. So I'll start there. Like, that's how I watched it. What was your viewing experience like?
I mean, I watched it at home on, I think I have a 55-inch TV. So nice. From the get-go, 55, 4K, all that stuff. But so it was beautiful. However, I think you and I are very opposites when it comes to what keeps our attention span. And for me, when it's more of the, like, story type of stuff, I get interested. And then when it's all the action, I lose interest. So, like, the second half of the movie, I was like, what's going on? There's, like, so much happening that I was, like, kind of just, like, zoning out and not paying a lot of attention. Also, I'm sick, so, like, my attention span is very dwindled at the moment. But yeah, I tend to, like, kind of zone out when things get too busy on a TV. And so
I think that
pretty
that's
funny. We probably absorbed opposite sections of the film.
And it's really good context to how we're looking at this particular film. So I'll start with my rating, and then let's, like, keep diving in. So my Mike TV rating for this is, there's two parts to it. It was 2 stars, 2 out of 5 stars. And then after going down the rabbit hole of understanding where the movie came from, who was behind it, what happened during production, you know, all the things where I love to go down the YouTube and Reddit rabbit holes, that bumped it up to about 3.5 stars.
Oh, okay.
So I was more excited learning more and more about this strange movie than the movie itself, which is what it is. And that's why we're Disney-holics. Sometimes the fans out there who do all the research make some content even more exciting.
Yeah, that's such a... I never do these dives like you do. I should start, because it's hard for me to realize, though, that, like, the actual content is not appealing, but the background story that they don't serve to is.
Yeah.
And so it's like, how do we get that in the actual...
There was a point where...
How do you combine that?
There was a point where I wasn't going to finish the second half at all and just come show up to the podcast ashamed, because I was more interested in just stopping it and being like, what the hell is going on? How did this film get made? Why does it feel like 100 other movies? So I wanted to learn so much about the backstory before even finishing the movie. Glad I finished it. So one thing that stood out to me was in the third act, there was a huge kind of plot twist and reveal that completely made me like the movie way more, because it changed what it was and became more... interesting and weird. And spoiler alert, it's the part where they make it to the other side of the mountain only to discover that the place they lived this whole time, their version of, it's not really called Earth, it's like wherever they live, is actually on the back of this giant turtle-like creature on a planet, an ocean planet. And they turn around and they see the eyeball of it, which is probably, the eyeball is probably as large as like a city or something, and they're just a little tiny dot looking at the eyeball, and they had this realization that they were inside of a giant living organism the whole time they were exploring this underground world. And that just blew my mind. I was like, what? I wasn't expecting it. It's very like stoner friendly. Like, I was like, who thought of that? Like that pushed it up a notch from feeling like a regular Journey to the Center of the Earth adventure movie, because I was like, okay, there's something different. Then it started getting more into the sort of like Save the Planet, Fern Gully, climate change thing, and, you know, healing and working with that. And so I was like, okay, I get it. So I started to like it more when the third act started, because it kind of flipped a bit. What did you think about that change, twist?
Yeah, that's where I was like, kind of like, wait, what? There's, now we have like a, it's almost like Inception, right?
Yes.
It's like there's a world inside of a world inside of a world. Like, okay, now we're like getting pretty deep in here. And it really threw off their entire plans, right? Because they realized, like, wait, we have it all wrong.
I was
trying to relate that back to like our real life Earth and whatnot. And I couldn't really do it. So I was a little stuck on that thought for a little too long, I think.
Same. And then even afterward, where I got it to in my crazy brain was, you know, in an eye, I went even weirder than they did. You know, in an eyeball, when you go close, there's like those little things floating around.
Yeah.
So I thought, what if Earth is that? Like, we're not even the pupil. We're not even special enough at all. What if we're just like this floating thing in this ginormous organism's eyeball? And then I went even further and I was like, what if that squiggly thing was just our galaxy? And we're even smaller into that. And then, yeah, my mind was blown. It reminds me of a scene from Men in Black Part 1 at the very end where they zoom out of Earth to show that we're actually in a galaxy, which is in a universe that's in a glass marble, in a game of marbles that these giant aliens are playing and throwing on the floor.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? So yeah, I like that stuff. I thought it was weird and cool. And yeah, it gets you thinking about your own existence for a second.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
It's very strange in a trip.
Very strange.
It's supposed to be like that, right? Yeah.
I also did some research for us, so let's jump into that too. So I think we mentioned earlier, Strange World came out in November 2022. The cast is a pretty good cast. So you have Jake Gyllenhaal as one of the main characters. His name is Searcher Clade. He has a son who's one of the main characters. Actor is Jabuki Young-White, who plays Ethan Clade, the first ever openly gay Disney main character. So that alone is so great. And it was just like, this movie just flew under the radar. So no one even really celebrated that. But that was pretty cool. I was like, okay.
I didn't even think about that part of it, about the movie not being very popular and having that much of an impact on that.
Yeah, section. Kind of a bummer. You had Dennis Quaid playing the grandpa slash dad, Jaeger.
Oh.
Gabrielle Union, love her. She played the mother, Meridian Clade. So now, not only did we have a gay son, we had an interracial marriage. So you had the black mom, the white dad, and then the mixed kid. Loved that. So these are all like the checklist of things that I would have ran to the theaters for. So I just don't get what happened here. You had Lucy Liu playing Callisto, who is like the kind of butch Asian adventurer, sergeant, all that kind of stuff. Then a lot of other random voices for some of the smaller characters. For example, Alan Tudyk, who plays the goat in Wish, and a lot of other characters. His voice was in this. And then the director's name is Don Hall. Not to be confused with Don Hahn.
Hahn, yeah.
Who I know you really like. But yes. Don Hahn was involved before Don Hall came on to direct. And this is where it gets very interesting. So Don Hahn, you tell a little bit about Don Hahn. You know him a little bit more than I do. He produced Lion King, right? And lot of those.
Yeah, he was involved in a lot of the Renaissance films. And, like, he's also, like, a big Disney-holic is why I really love him, because he's, like, such a fan. And he gets really involved with other projects as well, like curating galleries at the Walt Disney Family Museum. And he created that documentary about Howard Ashman.
Oh,
so he's, like, he's just such a really – he's, like, a really – empathetic, charismatic person. So like he's just great. And then he's also, you know, been a producer for a million years, so he just has a lot of his hands in a lot of Disney work.
That we saw him once, right? At a expo or something.
I've seen him a lot of times. I don't remember if I've seen him with you, maybe.
So
probably I'm sure he's always at the D23 Expo, but I can't remember for sure.
Well, the way you describe Don is perfect for the background of this movie. So he also produced Atlantis, The Lost Empire, which this was giving me Atlantis vibes, just modern, like CG versus hand-drawn. And that was a Disney movie that also flew under the radar, no music, very adventure-focused. And I don't think did very well. So there's that context. Now, when he was asked about these type of movies that he produces that are not Lion King, that are not fairy tale princesses, his analogy was this. He said, I like to produce a range of Disney magical Disney films. So he says, imagine walking into Disneyland and you're at the hub. I like to turn left first. When I turn left first, I'm thinking of Atlantis and Strange World, Indiana Jones, all of that stuff, or the Rescuers. And then he goes, then you go straight ahead in the hub. That's where you're going to get your princess movies and your musicals, yada, yada. So I like the way that he described
how
that.
Cute.
Right?
That's great.
I was like, okay, that makes sense. Because I sometimes get confused why they randomly throw in the adventure movies. And then I'm waiting for like the next princess movie. But, and maybe not everybody is. So maybe some people were waiting for something like this. He had described Adventureland as an area full of hidden danger, wild creatures, and very few songs. So that was his mindset going into both Atlantis and then eventually Strange World. And so he and the director, once the director came on board and the writers, they said they were inspired by pulp fiction. Not the movie, but the old kind of pulp comic. So things
okay,
like,
I was like, yeah, what?
Like Journey to the Center of the Earth, for example, which this kept giving me that vibe for sure. And then even in the, especially the first half of the movie, they showed a lot of those kind of books and they would turn into that animation and then turn into the real animation. Like those posters, there's a lot of this vibe in Up as well, which is a Pixar film. But when Carl thinks about stuff, he thinks of it in that way, this pulp adventure. So that's what they were trying to do. And then, because filmmakers and producers love their analogies, it helps them sell the movie to get budget, they said, okay, let's make Journey to the Center of the Earth, but with a National Lampoon's Family Vacation comedy happening on top of it.
What the heck? Okay.
So all of these things, again, are like, all right, all right. But I don't know, it just didn't hit. But those things are cool. Like, I get what he was trying to do. Personally, I don't think they nailed it because I think it was almost way too familiar to those things. Like, I knew exactly what was going to happen up until the eyeball part. But it was like, okay, right, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. They're going to find the dad, blah, blah, blah. And the whole father's, there's a lot of father-son drama, which again is great. We don't see that enough. But it was pretty predictable because we've seen it like in live action movies where the son doesn't want to follow the footsteps of the father. And then that creates conflict. And then you go another generation higher. And now you have a grandfather who connects with the son. And then you have the dad, the middle generation, feeling left out. So that was like, I felt like the core of the story. And for me, wasn't enough. It was more about that than the actual adventure. But that's right, what I think they were trying to do. That was the point. So I really hope that it found its audience, even if it was a small audience. I think there's an audience out there that really connected well with it. And actually, Rotten Tomatoes has a fresh score, both audience and critics. So it goes back to box office and then just people like not caring about it. But there must have been a small group that of audience that loved it. I think so. I hope so. What do you think?
Right. I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't feel like even after watching it, I didn't feel like it was something that's going to resonate with me. It could be also because of the things you're mentioning, like I didn't have those kind of relationships that were in the film. So it might not be relatable for me exactly. But there's also some things that I felt were a little off. Like they talked about, there was this moment at the very beginning where I don't even know how to say these generations, the main character, the dad, right? He's like the dad of Ethan.
Yeah. Searcher.
He saw a statue of his dad and he immediately spout out like a bunch of childhood trauma. Like he was like, blah, 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 blah. Like he just like word vomited out this like really traumatic experience. And so I was like, okay, that's obviously going to come back. But then when they ran into each other in the Strange World, it was kind of like, oh, hey, like it wasn't like a, I don't know, it wasn't like, I thought there was going to be crying and like all this emotion and it just wasn't. And it was kind of weird to me. Like I felt like they didn't need to spat out the trauma at the beginning if they weren't going to address it later.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point. I think they made the mistake of trying to save it for the end when they're all three fighting, but then it doesn't make sense because they should have addressed it right away for sure.
Right. It was definitely awkward for me to watch. I was like, okay, this is not the reaction I was expecting. So there's some twists and turns through the relationships that weren't residing with me. Like, they're just kind of like, that's not how real life would feel, I don't think. But yeah, then all of us are individuals and unique, and who knows what that felt like to them. But
very true. And it took a while for the dad to even recognize the son. It doesn't look that different, but it is what it is.
Right.
That happens a lot in movies where you just have to be like, okay, they don't know Superman is Clark Kent. Fine. Just accept it.
Fine. Yeah. Fine. It's like the same exact person.
It also, it didn't feel Disney to me, the movie itself. Like, anything. The aesthetic, the writing, the dialogue, the twists and turns. It didn't feel like any particular studio. Like, in my mind, I was like, oh, this is DreamWorks. Actually, no, it's not. Maybe this feels like Pixar. No, not really. What about Blue Sky, like the Ice Age people? So I don't know where it fits in, but it didn't feel like Disney magic to me. And then I had to check myself and realize, okay, what films has Walt Disney Animation Studios released? What era are we in, right? So take away Pixar, take away Marvel, and just Walt Disney Animation Studios. Recently, they've given us things like Big Hero 6, Zootopia, Wreck-It Ralph 1 and 2. And then I start to realize, okay, this actually fits into that era, which I don't love. It's not the best era. Like, there's a certain type of eyeball that they use that's very different than, like, the princess eye that we're used to. And even the grandpa, played by Dennis Quaid, was pretty much a Wreck-It Ralph reskinned. He looked just like Ralph, and they just put more hairy and olderness on. They aged him up a little bit. But he had the same arms and fists, like that aesthetic. And so I kept seeing Wreck-It Ralph in there. And some, like, Zootopia-looking things. So I guess what I'm saying is I shouldn't have been surprised about the aesthetic of the film if I'm paying attention to what has been released. Like, we're in a different era. We're even past sort of the Tangled Frozen era, too. We're in this weird era of Disney animation. Also, they have other studios now, so Pixar can do their own thing. But when you boil it down to what has Walt Disney Animation Studios released, it's been a little bit weird. And then even when you and I watched Wish in theaters together, there were points where I love the animation, but it looked weird. It just looked different. And now you put all these together and it's like, okay, there's this group of movies that's now been released in the 2010s and the 2020s that are their own beast and their own aesthetic, I guess.
Are we becoming old curmudgeon?
We are. Now? I miss the Disney eye. Like, I love the Disney eye that started with the Golden Renaissance or whatever. Like, Ariel's eyeball, and that type of eyeball stayed through most characters all the way to Frozen, even in CG form. It's like this big eye. It's very pretty.
I thought you meant eye as in, like, what they're, like, the lens are looking through, but you're, like, literally mean an eyeball.
Oh, yeah,
like,
the literal eyeball design of the eyeballs, yeah, of the characters' faces. Now they all look like Wreck-It Ralph. And,
yeah, I see that.
It is what it is. Pixar's even trying new things. I know the reason why I still haven't seen Luca was because they completely changed their aardvark to, like, look more like Aardman films, claymation, and not the Pixar look, and that threw me off. So, yeah, I guess I'm just a curmudgeon.
Well, I'm curious to see if these resonate with the younger generation, because to me, like, those older films, like, they had such a bigger message to them. Like the stuff I wanted out of Strange World, it had the capabilities for it, and it had the storyline for it, and then they just didn't address a lot of the stuff I was hoping for and expecting, because that's where, you know, where the story felt like it was leading, like their usual tropes. But I wonder why they're not. And also, if it still gets the same feel for the younger generation, like, maybe it's just what they're into versus us. I don't know. Yeah. Like, is it less trauma for the younger generation than us, or what? What's going on here?
And the younger generation prefer streaming most of the time. So in my research, it turns out this film did really well once it got to Disney Plus in terms of viewership. Okay. So people were streaming it, and maybe, yeah, that's that group that liked it, the younger group. But I think you're spot on with it. It had all of the ingredients for to make a classic film. It just didn't hit. I don't know why. And
it's like they would get to it and then they would just turn around and talk about something else. I'm like, no, like, go there.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I was watching a fan review on YouTube of this, and he said he loves the world they built and would love to see either a series or something at the same quality, right?
Right.
And just set in that world, but not about any of the tropes or common storylines they used in this movie. He's like, what they built was such a beautiful world and lore, and there's so much more to uncover about this place they live on. But what would it look like if they were just having regular day-to-day, maybe relationship issues, things like that. So yeah, I could see that. That's how I felt exactly about Pixar's Onward. It's exactly that. I loved the world. I didn't care for the story, but I wanted to see more of that place with all the cool stuff. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe this Strange World has a life as a Disney series at some point because they saw the streaming numbers were high. I'm not sure, but the other part that in terms of ingredients is I don't think this movie helped. Like, you know, all the people who complain about like woke Disney and they comment everywhere, everything diverse. This movie didn't help because I felt like some of it was forced. And I'm usually very honest if I feel like it was or wasn't. I felt it was a bit forced because the storyline about the son having a crush on his friend, who's a guy, very cute. He had like blonde highlights. It was very cute.
He reminded me of Jerry.
Totally. Yep, exactly. Same hair and everything. I feel like that could have been pulled out of the movie and nothing would have changed. I don't know why they added that at all. Like, and it kept coming up a lot. They're like, oh,
interesting.
Just wait till, and he had like a cool name, wait till so-and-so sees you now or whatever. But I didn't get what that relationship and him getting the guy to like him had anything to do with the movie. And then there was one point where I guess it's optimistic, where the grandfather was getting to know his grandson and immediately said, you know, do you have a special someone in your life? What's his name? I thought that was weird because in real life you would say either their name or ask, like, boy or girl.
Did he really say what's his name?
Yeah. And so... yeah, here's a moment where you think it's amazing, but it just was so unrealistic that I thought, the woke people are going to scream, especially if I'm already, like, uncomfortable with
how funny
unrealistic that was.
I didn't catch that. That's a little weird. Because I remember that scene because I was, like, expecting the grand... like, when he said... like, in my memory, because I obviously wasn't paying enough attention, but like, I thought he said like, what's their name? And then the boy said a boy's name. And I was expecting the grandpa to be like, what? He? Or something like be surprised.
Right.
And I was actually proud that he wasn't surprised that it was a boy. So I was like, okay. So like throughout the whole movie, like there wasn't any big like pushback or like any big drama around it being a boy. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. I like that they didn't have to address that further, but then they have that representation in it. So I like that part, but I could see how the woke police would get in there and be crazy.
Yeah, And that's perfectly it. Like, those were ingredients that I was not expecting and was so happy to see how everything was normalized. And then especially when you realize it's not Earth, it's this fictional land. It's like, okay, they're cooler over there. They're more inclusive in this fictional land. So maybe that's where it's coming from, because that scene happened, I think, before. I'm not sure you found out. But yeah, the he thing threw me off, but it's something we should all celebrate. It just goes back to like the delivery and execution. Yeah. Like, does it work? But yeah, so that was interesting. I want to celebrate the diversity did it feel forced at times? To me, I would say yes, which unfortunately doesn't help us push back against the woke police.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes the big picture of it is just like, get it in their face, whatever, deal with it, and then at some point you'll get used to it, hopefully.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers.
I liked the creatures. So we got to see, it is a strange world, so the animators got to design whatever they could imagine. And eventually you find out the character designs are a combination of sort of ocean weird space creatures mixed with actual parts of a living organism. And it starts to click once you figure that out. It's like, oh, those did look like cells, blood cells. Oh, those did look like a virus that's trying to do this and that.
Right.
So that was pretty cool, like the way they had that. But it just took too long to get there. I was already disinterested by the
I remember I was kind of zoning out, getting all the action stuff. I was like, what? And then when they discovered that this is this actual biome, I'm like, okay, did we just like turn on the magical school bus? Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Or Body Wars or something. Body like Wars, it was like all of a sudden.
Magic school bus, inner space.
Like what just happened is completely swapped over. But the characters also were giving me like Dolly. They were giving me Avatar. Like they're definitely like something that's familiar but just off a little bit, right? Or like Star Trek. I always thought Star Trek does that where they have like an alien that just has a crinkled nose. I'm like, okay, whatever.
And then you have like those big non-speaking creatures that walk by that are like giant in scale. Like it was kind of like a Jurassic Park moment when they saw one of these AT-AT looking organisms walking by, which is another inspiration. So the director and the creators, including Don Hahn and Hall, said that when they were in the concept art phase, they were inspired by Miyazaki films. So they said, what would it look like to have a Disney character spin on some of his big films like Spirited Away that take place in this just weird world where you can't expect anything that's going to happen? And on some of the videos that you look, if you go on YouTube and see some of the behind the scenes, the concept art does look like Miyazaki. Like, I was very impressed.
I was going to say, this film does not feel it. Now I have to go look at the concept art.
I think once you put it into CG, it loses what makes the right those Japanese films so special, the craft art, the craft behind it. But yeah, so again, I see where they're trying to go and I really appreciated it, but yeah, just not for me. And I hope the fact that it didn't do well does not deter them for continuing to try with the inclusion stuff. So we did see in Wish, whether you like the movie or not, you know, it was pretty inclusive. And I'm really hoping for Frozen 3 that Elsa gets her moment and comes out and falls in love with that lady in the forest that's already kind of her partner.
Especially someone that big.
Yeah.
Like Elsa is like top tier right now.
Right? And the kid, she's already part of people's brains and nostalgia that it's too late. You can't even protest it because Elsa's already out there. And if you don't, every time you see her, if you're mad, oh well, too bad for you. Also, Idina Menzel, the voice of Elsa, has said it multiple times that she hopes that that could be the case for that character.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So there you go. Get that.
That'd be awesome.
Strange world.
I have another couple things I wanted to mention about it. First of all, Splat is like the main Strange World character, right? That kind of hangs out with Ethan most of the film. He was giving me straight up BB-8 vibes.
Oh, like the way he rolled especially. I didn't think of that until you said that now. I like that.
His little noises he made, and he would like do a thumbs up and like all the little pointing. That was like very BB-8, right?
That's cute. I could see that for sure. Vibes. I was getting just a lot of generic sidekick vibes from him. Like the...
Very true.
Like the generic non-speaking sidekicks. Like the ones like Pocahontas. And sometimes they like find them, like BB-8. Ray found BB-8 in the next act of the film. In Frozen 2, they find that little newt. What, I don't know what it's called.
Uh-huh.
Reminded me of that. Yeah, so... A lot of like plug and play paint by number, characters and storylines here.
Yeah, I wasn't in love with him because of that, I think. Like, he was cute, but it was just like, okay, I've seen him so many times. Like,
yeah. And I hate...
endless amount of times.
I hate when you can tell they want us to think, oh, it's the cute character. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not working.
No, no.
Nope.
Need just to come up with something a little more unique here,
blue,
okay?
Blue blobby thing.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Also, can we just talk about, like, what they were going for with this intentional... branding. Did you notice what Strange World, like, the logo looks like?
Like Indiana Jones type of thing?
Exactly, like yeah. Indiana Jones. Like, it's very similar font. It's the color scheme, the, like, red faded to yellow. Like, the, what's that called? When you go through, like, different gradients. Ooh, there's a word for
gradient.
It.
Gradient? I was going to say...
yeah, but there's another word. Anyway.
The one for hair, what is that one called? Ombre?
And even the way it's, like, drawn, like, where it's, like, big S and then it has a small E. Like, it's a kind of, like, in a... like, a arc. And it goes, like, the smaller letters at the end. It's exactly like Indiana Jones. And I'm like, okay, what was the intention there? It was like, okay, this is an adventure film. We need to nail that in.
That came from... So they were both inspired by the same source materials. Think of it that way. Indiana Jones and tons of other movies, and Strange World were both inspired by those pulp magazines, which had the same exact font, all those type of things.
Like, how
like,
funny.
Bam,
okay.
Boom, pop out, like that. Like, that was the thing at the time. Like, Strange, there was one too that was Disney, wasn't even that old. It was like Weird Tales of the Haunted Mansion or something. There's like this certain aesthetic and design that comes with that world of those magazines at the time, but yeah.
Okay. Well, they nailed it because it's like, yeah.
But it didn't feel Disney, right? That font didn't feel Disney, which is what threw me off too.
No, no.
I was like, I don't want this. Get out.
Yeah, it's like there's you know, all these films coming out, just kind of like, oh, okay, it's another one of these random one-off films. That's what they feel like, right?
Yes. And imagine being or working and you're the producer, director. How do you respond to an executive who goes, okay, I screened your movie. It doesn't feel Disney. That must be so annoying. But it just doesn't. But it's hard to pinpoint every single thing. It's just in there. I don't know.
I feel like watching a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race recently, like I can totally see that conversation happening. Like, but what's going to make it, like, stick? What's going to make you stand out? Like, they had to have that conversation. I think they skipped it. But, yeah, so it's giving me Indiana Jones vibes, Salvador Dali a lot.
Yeah, yes. Oh, like, the melting, the way they would move. Like,
mm-hmm. And those big, long-legged creatures. Those are very Dali-esque. And SEA. So this is another, like, adventure film that we could have, like, tied into SEA somehow. That could have been really fun, too.
Yeah, there were moments where I was like, oh, this is perfect. If it did well, they may have.
Yeah, who knows? Oh, yeah, maybe they're just kind of like lightly peppering it in to see how it would do, and then they could tie it all in together.
Ooh, you know what else? And this is a strange comment for animated film, but I didn't feel any chemistry between the mom and dad. So Jake Gyllenhaal and Gabrielle Union. Yeah, I felt maybe it's the animation style felt a bit hollow, like they were two cartoons. Whereas I think of like Pixar, who does that chemistry really well. Like in Pixar, let's think of like The Incredibles. I completely believe that Mr. and Mrs. Incredible have been married for like 30 years. Just their banter, the way they look each other, the way that they're animated next to each other.
Huh.
I wasn't getting that
totally
as much with these
different
two.
On that. I felt like they were like super love and very cute.
Oh, they did do a lot of physical stuff, like kissing and hugging. I don't know, it just didn't work on me for some reason. But I think maybe I'm getting caught up on it was the animation style, probably.
Maybe. Also, speaking of, at the very beginning of the film, going back to Indiana Jones, they had this whole sequence that reminded me so much of the Indiana Jones Q or Indiana Jones Adventure Q video, where they're like walking you through the safety stuff and like the story of the ride. They kind of had that vibe at the beginning of this movie, too. I was like, this is a trip. It's reminding me of a Disneyland attraction. So that was kind of fun.
Ooh, that's what Don Hahn wanted, to turn left to go to Adventureland.
There you go. Yeah, oh, I love that. I love that so much. And you see that interview with him. And then my last thing I wanted to mention was the soundtrack. So definitely no songs came out of this where it's like stuck in my head, earworm status. However, I liked it. I felt I was getting very much Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, Star Wars kind of vibes, like yeah. John Williams-esque soundtrack, right? And it was very fitting for this movie, so I was enjoying that. But my favorite part was when they were in their home, they played an electro swing song, and I was like, what? I don't think I've ever thought an electro swing song would make it into a Disney film, so that made me very happy. I was like, okay, they're like trying new things with this music. All right.
That was cool. I do like that. It shows too that it's a, goes back to that, it's a different era. We have a different group of people making the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
The Star Wars stuff, I saw it too, even in the editing. So you could tell they are inspired by that type of movie with the crossfade and sometimes even the circle.
Oh, yes. There was so many of the transitions. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very George Lucas.
And I swear there was a Millennium Falcon sound effect at one point. Oh. I rewound it and listened to it again. I was like,
I believe it. I believe it. Yep. Basically, everything I was reading in the research and the reviews were, oh, maybe this is also what happened to Disney Wish. It was so inspired by things that existed that it didn't hit. So, but they, everything I read, they're like, oh yeah, it's inspired by this and the Star Wars this and blah, blah, blah. So they just put too much in, but it definitely comes through. So they nailed it in that way, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So what is your final review of this film?
Final review is, it changed again. What did, I said it went from a 2 to 3.5 after the rabbit hole. After this conversation, I'm going to bring it back down to a 3.
Ooh, ouch. Right, usually our conversations make it go up.
Yep. It's a solid 3. Like it did what it was supposed to do. It wasn't horrible. There's nothing like truly messed up about it. It just was fine. And these days you have to be more than that to be memorable. There's just so much out there that is you're competing with.
That's true.
Who knew that Puss in Boots movie was going to make so much money? That came out of left field. Back in the day, Disney wasn't really competing with anyone. It was like, oh, what's the next big Disney movie? Eventually, Pixar came along. They bought them. And then DreamWorks came along. So now there's a lot of competition. So you have to really stand out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And there's been a cluster of tons of media coming out after COVID, right? It's like kind of all pouring in. So there's so much to pay attention to and so much to rate it against versus something to be excited about for a few months with nothing else to compare it to, you know? So it is a little tough. I would say I'd give it like a 2.5.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's like just coasting right in the middle. Like it's, I would recommend it. It's a good watch. However, it's not anything like, oh my God, you know, but it's just like good. So
there is one thing that I learned when doing the YouTube videos is that they used an aesthetic that I didn't know had a name. So you know how there's steampunk? I think you and I really like that style, steampunk. So people don't know that's like futuristic, but also industrial. A good example is that restaurant that looks like Willy Wonka's at Universal Orlando, like steampunked out. I think Epic Mickey was just steampunk. What's one of those games? Jules Verne. Yeah, there's a whole land in Tokyo Sea that's very steampunk. So the design here on the surface level of the, not the surface level metaphorically, but the actual surface level where they lived and they had all their cool spaceships and stuff, they call that solar punk. So it's like steampunk, but it's powered by more modern energy versus coal.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder,
what is that compared to like cyberpunk?
Ooh, yeah. More digital, I think the cyberpunk would be.
The colors are definitely cyberpunk colors.
That's funny. It's a cool, I was like, okay, all right, solar punk. And I did like that. Like the cool spaceships they had were interesting. The way that it would use this kind of renewable energy source of those plants instead of gas or coal. I thought, okay, that's something.
That's something. All right, that's a little sub-summit. All right, so do you have any other final thoughts on Strange World before we wrap up today?
The only thing I could think of is, you know, if anyone hasn't seen it and you're looking to Jen and I, us, the Disneyholics, for a recommendation, I would say watch it so that you could see where Disney is going, how far they've come, where they still need to go. And I think it's just weird enough that it may be referenced from time to time in the future, not very often, but the same way we reference like Atlantis or Black Cauldron now and then, it'd be fun to be part of that and say you watched it. So for those reasons, I would say I'd recommend watching it.
I love that. All right. Well, today we reviewed Strange World in depth, and we talked about a couple other fun things. And happy Valentine's Day. Once again, everyone, I really hope it's a lovely day for everybody.
Happy V-Day. Yeah. Thank you all for listening, and we hope you enjoyed episode 176 of the Disneyholics Show.
Follow us on social media at the Disneyholics.
And if you want to get in touch, send us a DM on Instagram or contact us at thedisneyholics.com.
Okay, bye.
Thinking, leave that old record spinning. You feel the rhythm going. Legs ain't got time to lay low. Your knees are bending, so it's time to get up and let go. Hey, mama, how's it going? Can't see your body moving. Don't leave the party dying.
Man, I really want to go to Disneyland.